Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
Don't worry about how many pages I get done. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Today we're going to talk about kindness. Hallelujah. One thing that I have a burden is to make, to help non-Christians out there to know that we are like Christ in character. We don't want to stumble anyone because of the poor character, because of the immaturity in our life. Our immaturity can hurt the name of God because you represent God. And when you do something that is not biblical or in the character of God, then you can cause people to misunderstand your God. And that's why, as a pastor, I have a burden that we all need to grow in the fruit of the Spirit. We need to grow in our character to become more like Christ. And in the Bible, one time, a man came to Jesus and asked him, Master or teacher, Rabbi, what is the most important principle, most important law in the Bible? And Jesus say like this. Jesus say, wrap up the whole Bible. There are two laws. Number one, love your God with all your heart. Love your God with all your soul, your spirit, and your strength. And the second law, love your neighbor as yourself. He said that all the law of the prophet here, everything in the Bible can be summarized in two laws. That's it. Love your God and love your neighbor. Therefore, love is the whole essence of Christianity. Love is the essence, is the main essence of Christianity. Jesus tried to tell us that nothing matter more than relationship. Relationships are very important in the eyes of God. Relationships with God and relationship with man or with mankind. Amen. You can speak in tongue fluently. You can speak in 5 languages. You can have 10 diploma on the wall. You can be a successful businessman. You can have $1 million in your bank account. All this worldly success, all the things that you accomplish in your life, if plus fail relationship, is a failure in the eyes of God. Let me repeat one more time. All the things you have, all the success you have in your life, plus failed relationship, equal a formula, mathematic formula, equals failure of your life. You need to pay attention to relationships. Relationship with God and relationship with man. Amen. The Bible even says this thing, that by this, all men shall know that you are my disciple. Jesus did not say that by speaking in tongue, by going to Bible school, by have a position in the church, by have a title in the church, by singing very well, make people know that you are my disciple. He said that because you love one another. My dear brother and sister, loving one another is a great command of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you right now, love in action in the English vocabulary is kindness. Kindness is love in action. Kindness is love on the move. Kindness is love in the practical sense, practical way. Kindness is doing something, not just talking or feeling. Amen? Kindness is more than feeling. Kindness is practical, moving, doing something because of love. Kindness is so important in the eyes of God to the point that God gives the name of Jesus, loving kindness. You know, Jesus has many names. Is that right? The Lion of the tribe of Judah. The Lamb of God. The Lord of hosts. The Alpha and Omega. And how many people know that one of the names of Jesus is loving kindness? Jesus is called loving kindness in the Bible. You say, where is in the Bible? I'll show you right now. Titus chapter 3 verse 4. The Bible says, when the goodness and loving kindness of God, our Savior to man, as man appear. Who appear? Jesus. Jesus appeared 2,000 years ago. And the Bible called him the goodness and loving kindness of God. The goodness of God leads people to repentance. When you witness to your friends, when you want to win your unbelieving loved ones and friends to Christ, you are not preaching to them and try to knock their head with the Bible. You win them by the goodness of God, by the loving kindness of God. Amen. As you show loving kindness, the love in action, people will see Jesus in you. Because Jesus himself is the loving kindness of God. He is the love of God in action. How many people know that the Bible say in the first John chapter, the letter of John, first letter of John say, God is what? Love. God is love. And Jesus is the love of God, or God in action. Is that right? When Jesus was walking on earth, he healed the sick, he cast out demons, he raised the dead, he performed miracle of provision. He helped the poor. He taught the principle of God. He went to the cross, he carried the cross and died at the cross of Calvary. He showed his love in action. Do you see it? Jesus is God who showed love in action. And not only he showed love to somebody else, even the whole world has only you. One person in the whole world. No one else. Everyone else is gone. Only you on earth. He still showed that loving kindness to you. The Bible says like this in John chapter 13 verse 15. This is what Jesus said. For I have given you this an example, so that you should do in your turn what I have done to you. In other words, whatever Jesus has done to you, it's your turn to do the same thing that he has done to you to other people. As Jesus showed kindness to you, you need to be kind or show kindness to your neighbors, to your friends in the care group, to your friends in the church, to your spouse, to your children, to your parents. You need to do the same thing to them, the way Jesus did to you. So in this sermon, we're going to learn how Jesus showed kindness to you so that you can do the same thing to your neighbor. There are four things that I want to share, but I believe because of the time, I will share only one thing and a half today. One and a half things. Have you ever heard one and a half sermon? Hallelujah. I'm going to show you only one and a half. Amen. If you want to understand kindness, the best person to look at, not Pastor Lau. If you want to understand kindness, the best person to look at is not Pastor Caesar. The best person you look at, the best person that you can behold. You understand the word behold mean? Behold, I just find out from the dictionary. Actually, I didn't understand for a long time. Even though I lived in America for many years. The word behold means undivided attention, look at something. Oh, I need to look. No, I should look at her. This one should be Nali. Undivided attention, keep looking, the word behold. You behold. You need to behold Jesus. You need to keep looking at Jesus. Amen. If somebody videotaped a while ago, they may think that I have something with Pastor Caesar, but no. Amen. So, you know, you behold, you look at something. You look at something, you look at Jesus and you can become kind like him. I learned one thing, is that you become what you behold. Amen. When I go to Thailand many times, many Thai people are shocked. Because I become like Americanized. I become Americanized because I eat like them, I move like them, I talk like them. I talk like people in America now, so all the Thai people, oh, this is weird. He look like Thai man, but he act like American. He speak like American because you know why? I keep looking at these American people all the time. every day I see American people in, when I say American, I mean American culture, not skin color type. I'm talking about culture. You know, I keep looking at them, so I become more like them. You become more like the people you look at. You behold. That's why it's so important. As a church, we need to behold Jesus. Jesus is our kindness. Jesus is the model of kindness. Look at the first thing. How Jesus is kind to you. The first thing, He understands your weaknesses. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 verses 15 to 16, Jesus understands our weaknesses. Since since He had the same temptations we do, though He never once gave way to the temptation to them and sin. So let us come boldly to Him, into Jesus, and find grace to help us in our times of need. My dear brother and sister, the Bible says Jesus understands our strugglings, our temptations, our weaknesses. Whatever we are going through in our life, even though the whole world don't understand, He understands you. Understanding goes in hand in hand with kindness. You cannot show kindness to someone who you don't know. Is that right? You cannot show it's very difficult to show kindness to a stranger. Is that right? And that's why in the big city like this, it's very difficult to show kindness to people around you because you don't know anyone on the street. But if you go to Idaho, a small town in Idaho, we call bedroom community. Understand bedroom community mean? How many people don't understand bedroom community? It means that you can walk into somebody's bedroom without permission. It's so close, the people there are so close, like a small village. People know each other. In that kind of situation, people can show kindness to each other easily because they understand each other's problems. The same thing in our church. I would like to really invite you that you should do everything in your effort to go to care groups, to join in a small group, because that's where you can understand other people and they can understand you. I noticed one thing, that people who go to care group tend to have more interaction and love and show love to people around in the church because they know who is in trouble, who is not in trouble. It's so important to spend time to know. The more you understand of a person, the more understanding you are of a person, the kinder you will be to that person. Is that right? That's why, by nature, I tend to be more kind to you than people of the members of other church. Because I understand what happened to your life. I cry. Sometimes I pray for some of you. I cry. I really have a burden. A while ago, when you were giving, I was standing here, I make my hand like this. You know what I pray? I say, shower your blessing upon them. Shower your blessing upon them. You know why? God loved you so much. And He flowed through me. He loves you. He understands you. Amen. Jesus is not shocked when you are tempted. Amen. Jesus is not surprised when you are going through hardships. He went through all the temptation you are going through. He understands all the, you know, everything that you are going through right now. He understands you very well. He is not this kind of God. Sometimes people have the wrong perception of God. He's not the kind of God that look around like a Scotland Yard with the liar detector. Lie! I got you! Get in jail right now! He is not that kind of God. He did not come around and say, shape yourself up. Just shape yourself up. You make mistake. He's not that kind of God. Amen? He is the understanding God. He knows that you are weak in certain area of your life. He said to you, I have been there. I have been there in that temptation. I have been there when people don't give me food to eat on the cross and they don't even give me water to drink. I understand the poverty. I understand you suffer that you don't have enough money to pay bills because I was poor on the cross for you. He understands you. Temptation is not a sin. But when you yield to temptation, you sin. Jesus never yielded to temptation. So, because He overcame every temptation, He is the powerful God. You can approach him and come to him and say, God, Jesus, you understand me. Could you please help me with your grace? How many people, I read the scripture a while ago, find grace to help us in times of need. How many people understand the word grace? The word grace doesn't mean a permission ticket to sin. A lot of people misunderstand that grace means I get a ticket that I can sin and God gonna forgive me 150 times. No, no, no. The real meaning of the word grace means supernatural presence of God, supernatural power, powerful, tangible presence of God that come to you to equip you and to empower you to be able to obey him and to be able to fulfill what he calls you to do. God give me the grace to become a husband, to be able to feed my kids and my wife. That is the grace of God. God give me the grace to be able to go through the school at University of Washington for 7.5 years. God give me the grace, the supernatural ability to be a pastor of this church. And I can come to him and say, I struggle, Lord, to be a pastor here. How many people know that I'm struggling? I'm really struggling to be a pastor in this church. Not easy. Some people are blah, like a sheep. But sometimes I face lion and wolf come in and want to bite me. So it's not easy to be a pastor, but you know, I can become a pastor by the grace of God. Jesus understands exactly what I'm going through. And Jesus not only understands me, he helped me with his grace. You know, it's so important to understand people. It's so important. Something happened to me on Saturday night. Friday evening. Can I share with you that I learned something? Everything that happened in my life, I learned as a life lesson. On Friday evening, I stopped by at my Bellevue office. And on the way out of my car to my office, I pulled out an envelope out of my jacket. I always wear a jacket. So I pulled it out and I looked at the envelope and I was a little bit worried. Because I have 4 bills to pay, 4 envelopes. And I sent the 3 out to pay my credit card bill and my whatever bills, okay? And I plan to keep one because that bill will be, you have to pay that bill by November 11. The due date. Thank you. The due date is November 11. So I thought that I kept the right one. But when I pull out, I find out that it's the wrong one. I sent already the one of November 11, but this one, I don't know the due date. And the first reaction in my mind, I tell you right now, I hate to pay late payment penalty. Even $35, I don't want to pay. That's my habit. I don't like to pay late payment penalty. So when I saw that envelope, I was a little bit shaky. What day is that? I need to send right now. Should I call the credit card company? The envelope has already been sealed. So when I walk into my office, my accountant came to me and said, I need to talk to you about your tax. So I walk into the office and she talked to me and I was kind of blur. You know, I was blur and didn't listen to her because I worry about that envelope. $35. Sometimes my wife corrected me all the time. You worry about little things too much. I tend to pay attention to the detailed thing because I'm a neurosurgeon. I tend to be detailed. That's how I need to be like that in order to be a surgeon. So I pay to, and then I walk to my office. And 5 minutes later, this lady came to me. And she's not a Christian. Okay? She never read Matthew 18. What Matthew 18 say? Let me read to you. Matthew 18. Everyone say, Matthew 18. Okay. Matthew 18 say, moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. Everyone say, alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. Okay. This lady came to me, and she's not a Christian. She said, Dr. Lau, are you mad at me? You look unhappy. And at that time, I said, no, I'm not mad at you. And she said, thank you. She walked away. And I said, what happened? Why she thought I'm mad at her? Why I was mad at her? Then the Lord spoke to me, because you worry about that envelope. Then you look kind of blur and blank. When she talked to you, your eyes kind of blur, blank. And she misunderstands that you are mad at her. But you see, this lady practiced Matthew 18. She came to me and resolved the misunderstanding right at the spot. She communicated to understand me. I walked to her office and said, Kathy, the reason I look blank to you, look and lack of attention to your word or your conversation, because I worry about paying bill late. And she said, oh, thank you so much for explaining. Now I understand that you're not mad at me. You know, this is important. We need to communicate. In order to understand somebody, you cannot just have a guess or try to figure it out in your own brain what that person is doing to you. You understand what I mean? You need to communicate to build understanding. And the best way is to go directly to that person. I tell you right now, one of the person that has done a good job in this is my wife. If I offend her, I tell you, she will come to me, or ASAP, as soon as possible to deal with it and get it done, to understand each other. She will not keep it for years and years to have grudges against me and go to tell the whole world about the situation. I want to tell you right now, one time I was so mad at a very famous evangelist in America and in the world. I was so mad at him because I emailed him and he did not email me back. I was so, oh, this, he looked down on me. I email you, you don't email me back. And later on, I find out that the reason he didn't email me back, he said, I don't want to use email for communication in certain important issues, because we can misunderstand each other. I'd rather talk to you on the phone. Could you please call me? And I find out that, oh, it's true. I think he's right. I want to tell you right now, many important issues in your life, don't use written form. Why? Because people can misunderstand. I learned yesterday that if you talk to Latino people, you, what is the word? Yesterday I talked. Yeah, you have ambition. People, they will misunderstand you that you look down on them. Because the word ambizioso or something is a negative word in Latino language. So you can see here that even use the verbal, you can misunderstand each other. That's why it's so important to understand people by really keep talking, keep communicating until you understand one another. A lot of things happen, you know, in communication between people of different cultures. It's big time because of the cultural difference. Therefore, please be careful. Don't use email. I command you right now, in the name of Jesus, don't use email for any issue that you are offended. Please pick up the phone, call, please meet face to face, because email can be misinterpreted. People don't see your face. Not only that, the worst thing in the world, the email stuff can be forwarded to the whole world. One time, somebody emailed somebody and say that you're wrong. And that email was forwarded to another 50 people. And everyone that read that email misunderstand that man, never talk to that man directly, and everyone hate him because just read that one email. Who? The devil used that, you know, thing to assassinate people's character. Therefore, you need to talk to people. Amen. Be gentle. Be communicating. Can I tell you another story to show you that you need to be careful of judging people? The Bible says like this in Galatians chapter 6 verses 1 to 2. If someone is overcome by some sin or make mistake, in other words, you are godly, should gently and humbly help him back onto the right path, remembering that next time it might be one of you who is in the wrong. Share each other's trouble and problems. In other words, we all wrong in certain area. We all make mistake. So when you see somebody make mistake, don't jump in and say, punch you. You need to repent. I can strangle your neck. Like this. You see? Don't do that. You gently help. You say, anything I can help you. I want to really help you to come out from this. Instead of going and just shoot and throw darts and everything and try to kill that person. You know why? Because one day they're going to come back to you. Because you're going to make mistake too. One of these days. Amen. Amen. One time, I remember that I tried to make it short so I can wrap up. I cannot preach 1.5 now. I can just preach one topic. One time, on Wednesday, I operated all days, 8 hours. If you never stand in the operating room, you don't understand how tired. Look at the microscope, standing all day, tension, that I will not cut any one nerve and I will not cut any one unnecessary part of the brain or something. Try to do the best to save the patient life. And by the end of the day, I have to run to the care group at Mary Jo House. And that is Wednesday many years ago. I did not eat. I did not even eat dinner. I was so tired and so hungry. I was hypoglycemic. Hypo means low. Glycemic means sugar in the blood. I have no sugar in the blood. I was cranky a little bit. Okay? I was tired and cranky a little bit in my heart, but I didn't show it up. And when I show up that day, one lady tried to share about her daughter, something about her daughter. I was sitting there. My face looked pale. I was tired. And, oh, thank God, I will pray for her. I just say like this. A few weeks later, I got a phone call from one friend. This lady is mad at you. She will never come back to your church and she will never want to have anything to do with you. I was listening. What? What wrong I did? And I asked, what I have? I offended her. He said like this, you did not get excited enough. You don't do like this. Oh, really? Oh, praise God. Amen. You don't do that. And she got mad at you and she never want to come back to your church. And this is a true story. And I will listen to that. If she just asked me one question, are you mad at me? Anything wrong with you? Why you are not excited about my story? Just one question, I would say, I'm hungry. I have nothing to eat all day. How can I get excited? I'm human, like you. I was standing all day, operating on people. Can you understand me? Please understand me. Amen. We need to understand people. Don't jump into conclusion and judge people around you. Don't judge people. Some people may walk into the church on Sunday, have a long face and cannot smile, and you judge right away. Oh, you are not holy. You may not know that his mother-in-law just died yesterday or something. Or his cat just died, or maybe the golden fish just died yesterday. And he's so sad that the golden fish just died yesterday. You know what I mean? So don't jump in to judge anyone. Just love people. Just gently, humbly help people. Be kind to people. Understand people. Amen. Especially in this church, I'm going to end here. Especially in this church, please, understand each other. I know some of you love steak and mashed potato. How many people put the thumb up when I say steak and mashed potato? Some of you love burrito. Yeah, something like that. Some of you love kimchi. Some of you love sushi. Is that right? So please understand each other. We come from different backgrounds. We grow up in a different way. So be kind. Be loving. Don't judge. Don't blame. Don't attack each other because we are different. Be understanding that we all come from different backgrounds. And we need to love. If you're going to make a choice each day between hatred and love, choose love. Choose to treat people with love all the time. You make decisions every day. I choose love. I choose love. I choose love. I choose love. And you know, when you do that, I tell you, you're going to be full of the anointing of God. Because the Bible say this way. The Bible say, if you obey my command, you shall abide in my love. The word abide mean what? Staying inside something. It's like the well inside the bubble of God's love. That is anointing. Love means God himself. God himself going to be around you. If you walk around in the city with love, 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 the presence of God will be around you. But if you walk around hated, gossip, attack people all like this, the presence of God will leave and you won't have less and less anointing. Amen. How many people want to see good health in your house every single day? No sickness at all. How many people want to see demon cannot come into your house? How many people want to see that everything you touch is successful? You need anointing. Is that right? You need the presence of God to touch things and be successful. What you do, the key is this. Walk in love in action. Kindness. Understand people around you. Amen. How many people want to listen to the second part next Sunday? Next Sunday, I'm going to talk about another three. I hope I have enough time for three. But let us say at the same time. I will understand people. I will communicate with my word personally. I will not spread gossips. I will not talk bad about people. I will try to understand people. I will avoid using email to communicate. I will not forward the email. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for this lesson that we learned about understanding. Jesus, you understand us, and we want to do likewise. We want to understand other people. We want to understand our wife, our husband, our kids, our parents, our friends in the church, our co-workers and our student friend at school, Father. Help us to be understanding people, Lord. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Now I want to give this time to Brother Yong. Yong want to share something with us quickly. Don't go home.
Hello, Lord. Hi, can you hear me? As you know that this is a special month. This is a month where it's a pastor appreciation month. I don't know how many of you know that. So I don't know how many of you, you know, know that how hard your pastor and the pastor's team pray for you. You know, they are the shepherd over you. They are accountable for your life, you know, when one day we all go to heaven. So to me, they are probably the most important person for your life, and that's why we, you know, as members and as brother and sister here, we sometimes don't think enough of them. Sometimes we kind of took them for granted. You call them late at night, you dump everything on them, and you expect them to just, you know, be fine. They're human too, as our pastor has preached, you know. So we need to kind of take don't just for this month, but I think you should take intermittently, just trying to, you know, take the burden off them, off their plate, take stuff off them, whatever you can help. You know, you need to constantly think about your overseer. Right? The scriptures say we should give them double honor for the one that's in preaching and teaching. So, how many pastors do we know in this church? A lot of you don't know. So, anyway, now today we will officially we'll see them all out here. I'd like to invite pastors. Our worship pastor, Pastor Kenny Sai, and his wife, Marley Sai, out here, please. And I'd like to invite our Pastor Cesar and Pastor Nali out here. Oh, you can stand up here. That's all right. And lastly, we'd like to invite our senior pastor, Pastor Da, and also Pastor Lau, down here, please. We'd like to also invite our elder, one of our elders, Mary Jo, to come out here. No, I'm asking her to come out and pray. Sorry. Yeah, I'm going to have Mary Jo. We're going to have you pray for our pastors. So let's all lift our hands, you know, and our spirit to our pastors. And we're going to have Mary Jo pray for our pastor to bless them this time. And we have a little thing after this, okay, for them.
Father, I don't know where my life would be without these people that you've put in my life. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for the shepherd's heart that you've given each one of them. I thank you for the love that they have shown to me. I thank you that they love you, Lord, with all their heart, strength, minds, and souls. That they've been obedient to your commands. Father, we thank you that you do have a perfect plan for each one of them. Father, Lord, you have so blessed them, Father God, and placed gifts and abilities and talents in each one of them as you have desired. And Father, I ask, Lord, that they would move in the fullness of everything that you prepared for them. Lord, that they would not fear what you're asking them to do. But Lord, that they would rise up by the Spirit of the Most High God, and they would walk the steps that you've ordered for them. Lord, I ask that the Spirit of the Most High God would impart wisdom to them every day. I ask that the Spirit of the Most High God would fill them with the spiritual gifts from above, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that they may minister to your people, that they may minister in this world, that they may minister to the nations, the things of God, the things of the Most High God. of the Most High God that dwells in each one of us in this church, that we would minister to our pastors the love of the Spirit.
Standing, please. We have something from the youth groups for sending our flowers to the pastor. Praise God. Please give them our pastor a hand. Oh, there's some more. So the children are making some posts in their class too. And I have one more thing. We would like to also we'd like to also show them love, you know, in giving. They've given up so much to the church, and I think we as a body, we need to really honor them and show that, you know, we love them. And you know, I think giving money and giving, you know, love offerings to them, it is very biblical, and it's something truly, you know, and I ask you to come truly to give this from your heart and show how you appreciate them. So as we take this offering, you know, just think of what they've done in your life and what they have given in terms of any blessing in your life that you can, you know. I can never outgive the time and the prayers, you know, that I don't even know what I receive in my life to them. So if you think about that, you know, what we can return to them is can be really, you know, compensate for what they have done for us. But praise God, and let's really come together in one spirit and show our love to them by our love offering. Okay, praise God. The usher. Let's pray for the offering. Please bless them. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you've given our pastors. And we pray, Lord, that as we take this offering, Lord, we just a very small token that we can show our appreciation. Lord, let us continue, Lord God, to have the spirit of gratefulness to our lives and throughout these coming years, Lord, that we'll think and we don't want to be a burden to our pastor, Lord God, will be a blessing. And know that they do not mind, Lord God, to participate in our sorrows and our hardship and our joy, Lord. And they pray, Lord, that you will allow us to be more of a blessing for their life. Lord, and today, Lord God, we concentrate, Lord, in prayer and teaching and preaching. That we, Lord God, will be hand in hand with them in everything that we do. Lord God, that to be a blessing and to be, Lord God, a co-laborer, Lord God, in your gospel. I pray as we take this offering that we brought for many, Lord God, more fruits in their life, Lord God, as they utilize it. And I pray that you continue to keep them afresh in our mind, that we appreciate them this month, Lord God, every day in our life. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much for your love and your prayer. Pastor Da and I, and on behalf of other pastors, we appreciate your love, your support, and all the things you have done for this family of God. Before the end of the service, I'd like to have an honor to ask people who feel that I need God, I cannot do things without Him, without His help. I need His kindness toward me first. I need to experience the kindness of God. And you do that by inviting Jesus Christ into your life. By saying, Jesus, come into my life. I want to experience your kindness. Do it to me so I can do what you explained to me today. So this morning, whether you have come to church many times or you maybe even grow up in a church, but you never really invite Jesus into your life personally. You even maybe invite, but in the past years that you say, I invited Jesus, but you never really have a personal experience, personal relationship with Christ. You don't walk with Him. You just kind of accept Him and then never have anything to do with Him. This morning, I'd like to encourage you. I'd like to pray with you. Can I have an honor to pray with you this morning, that God will begin to reveal Himself to you? If you are those people, can you please come out here? I'd like to pray with you in public here. You know, it should not be a shame to proclaim that we invite Jesus Christ into our life. Come out here, please, if you'd like to do that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Come out here. Don't be shy. Humble yourself. Invite Jesus, come out here. If you say, God, I never proclaim that I want to walk with you in public, today I want to do it. Come out here. I'd like to pray with you. Don't procrastinate. Today is the day of salvation. Come out here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Come out here. God loves you. God wants to bless you. Start a new life with Jesus. Anyone else? That you may call yourself Christian, but you haven't walked with God. You haven't prayed for many months. You haven't read the Bible. You don't even have life going on with God. Today you say, I'm going to rededicate my life. I want to walk with God. I'm going to start to read the Bible. I'm going to start to walk with God. I start to pray more. I give my life to you, Jesus. Jesus, today, I start anew, start over again with you, Lord. Come out here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Why don't you pray with me? I'm going to lead you to pray right now. Father in heaven, I need your help. I need your kindness and mercy. Lord, I have done wrong against you and many things. I have done wrong against people. I have missed the mark. I fall short of your glory. Therefore, today, I come out here to the altar and ask you, Lord, to forgive my sin. Please forgive me. Please cleanse me by the blood of Jesus Christ. I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. He died on the cross to pay for my sin. I invite you, Jesus, to come into my life right now. Set me free from bondage, from power of darkness. In Jesus' mighty name, I am set free today. Your loving kindness will fill my life. From today on, I will walk with you. I read the Bible. I will spend time praying, talking to you, listening to you. I will serve you all the days of my life. I turn away from my sin. Please help me, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Your family, abundant life upon you, new life, he said new life, the old God and the new has come. Don't look back, he said, I give you a new life, move forward and don't look back, new things, just follow the voice of your shepherd. Your God. Trust Him. Trust your God. He will help you. He will help you. I bless you, Justin. Bless you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Today we don't have lunch because we need to set up the room for the autumn festival tonight. But you can hang around to fellowship. Amen. While you are fellowshipping, I'd like to spend a few minutes to pray for people, two kind of people. Number one, people who want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, speak in tongue. I'd like to pray for you to be filled. Number two, I like to pray for people who are hungry for the fire of God. I like to pray that the fire of God will come and touch you and burn and change you from glory to glory. God's fire need to come and burn out the dross in our life so that we can become more like Him. Amen. So don't, people who want to fellowship out there or somewhere, don't come to bother people in the front here because I need the presence of God. I need to spend time to pray for people. Amen. May God bless you. If you need to go, you can go. If you want to be prayed for, come out here. I like to pray for people who want to have the fire of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. when you come out to be prayed for, ask God specifically. Talk to God. God, come and cleanse me. Deal with me. I surrender. You can do whatever you want in my life today. I surrender. Talk to God. Don't just stand there. Ask God to help you. Ask God to touch you.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.